Murray, how are you?
Hey, good guys. I don't think they play Edmonton for a while. You're kind of jumping a little bit in this one, aren't you?
Oh, no. No, hey, man, we're doing a preseason tour around the league. So.
Oh, okay. Well, and this is one spot. It's a must-see place to visit.
You know, there's a few less intelligent people in Edmonton that cheer for the Riders, so they were texting us to see if we could get them on the show. So, no, I'm kidding. I just like to chirp. We have a lot of guys at our station that are Rider fans, so it's fun. Quickly, when's the new stadium going to be open, and what's the capacity going to be?
It's going to be open in 2017. It's going to be about 33,000, and it's going to be fabulous because it's actually, I'll brag, it's right across the building from where my field house where I work out. Insert your own joke. And I get to watch it go from the ground up, and it's just looking great. It's just kind of exciting to see this sort of new building going in there. And you can see it from Mosaic Stadium where it is now, where you can see the girders are going up and the cranes, and they're starting to put the masonry outside. So it's about, I think it's about 41% complete, whatever the heck that means. And it's exciting. And I even say, as a cynical old reporter who's been around and stuff, I look at that and I think, yeah, this is going to be a pretty spectacular facility. And it's going to make a big difference for the Riders because they need more money, eh? They kind of need more people to be spending money and supporting them. So there's an opportunity here to bring some more money into the franchise.
So 33,000 regularly. You know, for big games, people are like, man, they could easily pack the house more than that. And then, of course, for the Grey Cup, how's it going to expand for Grey Cup games? Because I'm assuming they're going to probably want to host the Grey Cup in 18 or 19.
I think it can go to 45,000 for the Grey Cup. I'm not 100% sure. What you want to do is make sure you build a stadium that suits the capacity and that creates a demand for tickets. You don't want to end up at, like, Commonwealth Stadium, you know? You know, that'd be a great stadium for about 30,000, and you could get those seats. You want to have a demand for the tickets. That's pretty reasonable, I think, 33,000 for the Riders for regular season games, and then bump it up to 45,000 for big events like a Grey Cup and whatnot. But I think teams are showing the idea. You want to be able to create that atmosphere during the regular season, so don't go building these big 50,000-seat stadiums that you can never possibly even fill. Even in a place like Saskatchewan, I think a 40,000-seat stadium would be a bit much in the regular season because they do have jobs and you have other things to support. So I think they've got the size right. I think they've got the location pretty close to being right. I think they've designed the right stadium. So it's going to be – it looks all right. And I think it'll be, as I said, very exciting for us out here.
Murray, let's talk about building the Riders. Terrific start last year. And then it all came undone after Durant got hurt. Is this the do-over season? Because this was looking like a pretty good football club before that.
Oh, I think so. It's funny. Last year they talked about redo or repeating. This year I'm calling it the redo rebuilding year. Last year kind of opened their eyes. I think they, I don't know if complacency is in, but they thought they could be pretty good if Durant would have had. And Durant had been durable up to that one injury. I don't think he'd missed many games in his career, so he didn't get hurt a lot. So I think this is a redo, kind of rebuilding year. Chamberlain has always had his players and guys in place, but I think this is really a team that he wants to make his stamp on from a total of almost like there's only three guys back, including Chamberlain from the coaching staff, to remaking the whole roster. So it's a redo year, it's a rebuilding year, but it's also, you know, Chamberlain putting his mark on this team that this is his squad going ahead, and they're looking forward. You know, you can never look too far ahead in the CFL, but they're looking forward to 2017 going to a new stadium and maybe building some momentum up for that.
Murray McCord from the Regina Leader Post joins us. Murray, looking at Kevin Glenn, now he's now the backup, and you look Saskatchewan, I would think after last season, because, you know, a lot of people looked at the Riders and, man, they were playing great. They lost their quarterback, and their backups just simply could not get the job done, not even close. This just seems like a smart move to ensure you have a security blanket.
Well, they had rookie camp here today, and Kevin Glenn was walking around the sidelines, and I don't think he smiled the whole time. I think he's going to make a difference backing up the Riders. I think he's going to add something to the locker room in his maturity and his personality and stuff. Like, if you've ever met Kevin Glenn, you like the guy. And I think as a football player, you like the way his leadership. He understands his role here is to back up Darian Durant to make sure Darian Durant is happy, contented, whatever he can do to help. And if he has to play, like, Kevin Glenn's pretty good in the regular season. He's just kind of struggled. That's kind of a sad. But in the playoffs. So it was a great signing. I think it's a relatively cheap way to do it. And they learned quickly last year that Tino Cinceri and Seth Diggy weren't ready to take the step. And Kerry Joseph tried his hardest, but he's a 41-year-old guy that just couldn't quite throw the ball to the right people. As we learned in that West semifinal, I think 5 interceptions, something like that, was it? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it was fine. Kevin Glenn, the line I heard from a few GMs once about Kevin Glenn was, he'll throw 3 interceptions a game. It's up to you to catch him.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think he can do that. But they need another personality guy. They kind of lost him. I know people that talk about, they lost Ricky Foley when they traded him to get middle linebacker help at Shea Emery. And they needed middle linebacker help. So you have to trade a good player to get a good player. But they need a personality guy to be a leadership guy. And I don't know if you can get that out of a backup quarterback because your role has to be subservient to Durant's role. But I think Kevin Glenn's going to provide as much as he does on the field as he does off the field for these guys. And, you know, it can't hurt because if Durant, I know he answered the questions. We were all down at Bradenton, Florida, for the minicamp, and we saw him fill wells, and he looked like he's completely recovered. But until this arm takes a couple hits, and we're always going to be watching it to make sure it's fine because the elbow is a pretty key part of the equation of the quarterback. So there's always going to be this question hanging over him about how healthy is Darian's elbow. So now they've kind of answered, if he isn't healthy, we have a Kevin Glenn. But I'm not saying that Durant's elbow isn't healthy, but it's just a sound insurance policy, which I think other teams have looked at when they've signed Kevin Glenn.
Yeah, absolutely. As Jason said, they just couldn't get it done when Durant wasn't in there last year. Another big factor for me, personnel on the field has to get it done. But how different or tweaked is that offense going to be under Jacques Chapdelaine?
Well, I hope we don't see anybody run the ball for a long, long time. Because for some reason, they got so focused on the run. And I know with Corey Sheets in there that you have that sort of dynamic running back that can dominate a game. They didn't have that kind of domination with Anthony Allen. And then the crazy things for benching guys for fumbling, which I still haven't quite figured out what was the rhyme or reason to that. I think it's going to be, it's going to be interesting because the Rams always consider himself a bit of a gunslinger, but I think Chapdelaine's offense is more intermediate passes, high percentage things, looking to the running backs and stuff. So it's going to be more of a passing offense, but maybe not as going down the field as sort of as vertical as people like. So I think it's going to be a better offense. I think it's going to be suited to these wide receivers like Getzlaff and Bag and Dressler, who could play that kind of intermediate passes and get open and take advantage of these new CFL rules, which I think a lot of teams are going to do that with the illegal contact being banned beyond 5 yards. So I think it'll be a little more exciting offense. There's nothing wrong with a good power running game if you have a good power running back, and the Riders didn't have that last year. So I think they're going to evolve into more of a CFL-style offense with lots of passing.
The Riders, like every other team, are going to have to find some secondary guys who can cover without being physical. How much of a challenge is that going to be for them?
I think it's going to be the same for everybody in the league. But it might be, and I think it might be a little something, because they seem to be leaning towards younger guys with less CFL experience. Because look at the guys who've been in the CFL for a long time. Their clutching and grabbing has been as much a part of their game as any part of it. That's what they've been doing. They've been able to take guys who are out of the sidelines. Most guys come up here from the NFL and NCAA, they've had to live by that rule. So they know how to play by that rule. So it's not as much teaching them that rule as just sort of moving on. So I kind of wonder, when I look at this roster, they've gotten the younger in the secondary stuff and coverage guys, and I wonder if that's a little bit of their thinking processes. You don't have to teach new guys how to play this style. You just have to get the old dogs to learn some new tricks, and maybe that's what's going to happen there. But, you know, it's just maybe a bit of a stretch, but it could be kind of what a sense of feeling I get the Riders have done in their secondary to deal with this new rule.
Murray, you touched on it. Durant's elbow health will be a question. The contact rules for receivers going to come into play. The one thing for me, I wonder, the offensive line, they've got to keep Durant from being pummeled, and you've got a couple of big holes to fill there.
There are some big holes. I think they let Dominic Picard go, financial reasons. I think we all understand that sometimes that happens in CFL. You just can't keep a high-priced offensive lineman. Corey Wattman and Dan Clark, two names that people might have heard a little bit about, come up, are going to battle out for center, and I think that's going to be a huge battle because you got to have a good center. They lose Ben Heenan, and he was very, very good. Outside, he's out of position in the CFL as a tackle. I think he might have been a better guard, but he did very well as a tackle. The other guy now called Levi Adcock, or Levi Adcock, who showed some pretty good stuff at right tackle last year until he blew up a knee. So they may have some replacements. They're going with two imports at tackle, like Xavier Fulton and Levi Adcock. They only have two international tackles on the roster, so I think they're going to go that way. Big, big holes, and I think keeping Durant upright is. But he's not like a Drew Willey or some of the guys. He can move around pretty well and help out an offensive line. So his mobility will sort of help the line develop a little bit, and maybe as they get that cohesive. Don't forget, they still got three of the best in Brendan Labatt and Chris Benson, and Xavier Fulton's one of the top tackles. And still, there are holes, but boy, there's a strong foundation there with some of the guys they have already coming back in Best, Labatt, and Fulton.
Well, Murray, most people have Edmonton, Saskatchewan, and Calgary as the three best teams in the West, and Winnipeg needing to improve, and BC kind of is the major question mark in the the West. So it should be another interesting season that kicks off with. Well, I know some teams had rookie camps, but the main camp, of course, gets going on Sunday. Medicals on Saturday. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you throughout the year.
Sure. 18 days in Saskatoon. I can't wait. It's going to be a blast.